Is there a struggle between good and bad? Well, you know how that is. When you would do good, evil's always present. Is there a struggle between heaven and hell? And the answer is, choose that which is good. Seek that which is from above. Shun that which is from below. It's that simple. How are we going to get into it tonight? How are we going to bless? How are we going to mount up? How are we going to come to an understanding? And how are we going to escape the wrath of the Almighty Creator who's coming before a people that's kept the faith and hasn't denied His name? It's real simple, ladies and gentlemen. It is real simple. Let's begin tonight by saying that there are two seeds warring in the womb of a woman for success and for superiority that is coming to one of those races. Now, we believe that the good guys are going to win. Most people believe that the good guys finish last. That only those who cheat and steal and corrupt and lie and do all those things that are on the dark side are going to win. And it seems like that the tares are outstripping the wheat. It looks like that the tares have got a leg up on the lamb. No pun intended. However, that's the way it seems. The Bible said, that which is highly esteemed among man is an abomination to Yahweh. Again, the church world, how are we going to overcome the world? By revelation, by knowledge, and how are we going to seek Him who created this situation for us to abide in? You see, this is just a schoolyard. The Bible said the law is a schoolmaster. You don't want the law over you? Oh, we're not under the law, Pastor Buddy. You see, when you're in the Spirit and you're walking in the Spirit, you don't have no need of the law. When you break the law, that's when you need a judgment. The Bible said, they that sin shall die. It's that simple. We're going to Matthew 13, my favorite chapter in the Bible, or one of my favorites anyway. I like it all. It's all good. But man, this is one. Anybody that's got a pure mind, anybody that's got a convicted heart, would know that the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. Now, who would that be? Who is this good man? You see, most people don't look at the Messiah that came 2,000 years ago, the God-man who became flesh. They don't look at him as having seed. But he says he did. You say, oh, Pastor, but that's spiritual seed. Oh, really? Well, what was Genesis chapter 3 all about? Was it about spiritual seed? Or was it about offspring from the good and the bad? This is what this is talking about. And if you ain't got a clue by now, you know, if you're seeking truth, the kingdom of heaven's like a man who sowed good seed in his field. Who was this man that sowed the good seed? Did Yahweh have anything to do with Genesis in chapter 3? Was he involved? Now, the same Yahweh in Genesis 3 is the same Yahweh in Matthew 1:21 or 1:22 or 1:23. Same one. He don't change. You say, oh, but Pastor Buddy, you wouldn't accuse Yahweh of having sex, would you? What's this whole thing all about? What's your life all about? Be fruitful and multiply? Now here we're being told that the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field, in verse 25. But while men slept, his enemy came. Now here comes somebody else sowing seed. And sowed his seed among the wheat and went his way. It's Salem. If you notice in Genesis chapter 3, Satan, the enemy, he basically disappears for a long while. And the finger of accusation is only described in spiritual terms rather than physical beings that were deposited upon the earth through his seed. The reality is that Cain, who was of the wicked one, is a deposit of seed from Satan's sperm. I'm going to repeat that. And I know this is, I know that this falls on a lot of Christian deaf ears. They cannot accept Satan laying with Eve. And yet the very scripture that explains the whole mystery, because people are carnal when they read the Bible, they want to read it carnal. Here it's a parable, and they want to take it as carnal. But Yahweh was comparing the natural, and he picked out seed as an expression of the truth of really what happened in the garden. Matthew 13 is the very happening of Genesis chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. The seed of the serpent and the seed of Yahweh, the seed of good and the seed of bad, the seed of light and the seed of darkness, the seed of up and the seed of down, the seed of out and the seed of in, All these are the war of the seeds. Now, there's races of Genesis 1:26 that are caught in the crossfire of these two seeds that are would majorly dominate the earth. I will repeat that. These two seeds, now there's other seeds. Genesis 1:26 proves that. A matter of fact, the second chapter of the book of Acts explains how Adam was a eighth-day man. He was not a sixth-day man. Now, what happened to the seventh-day man? That's when he rested. Well, when is the seventh day? Well, if you work 7 days, and Adam was created on the eighth day, what day do you figure that Yahweh said, take heed lest any of you have an unbelieving heart fail to enter into my rest? These are understanding factors. These are the unlockers, the tumblers, and the safe mechanism that must turn properly and to synchronize, to open the vault of information that would make you free. Otherwise, you're bound up in the tradition, and that's why it's so difficult for some people to get this message. If this gospel is hid, it's hid to them as lost. The good man that sowed the wheat and the enemy that sowed the tares and the growth of the grain that sprouted and produced a crop. When the crop of wheat appeared, so did the tare. Now the question is, which one of the two seeds that was in the woman's womb, and you never really think about Eve bearing twins, do you? But I believe that Cain and Abel were fraternal twins, having the same mother. Therefore, Eve was the mother of all the living. Don't mean it all lived that came from her womb, because the opposite happened. He said, all will die. And that was the result of the curse of the one that sowed the good seed. He had to kill his own seed and then develop a plan to raise that good seed up through the resurrection. For he that believeth in me, that will raise in the resurrection, will never die. Notice. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, sir, you sowed the good seed in the field, but now we've got bad seed coming up. And he said unto them, he recognized it right there. You see how open he was? You see how he He's explaining the parable. Well, an enemy has done this. An enemy. A child of darkness. Satan was a child of the light. He was created and he was perfect until iniquity was found in him. And so then we got two seeds warring in the womb, separate, but almost inseparable. As they cling to one another, one would bruise the heel and the other would bruise the head. And it would be a continuous war. And the difference between the kingdom of heaven and heaven is illustrated in this parable that I want you to see. The kingdom of heaven and heaven is subject in this sense. The kingdom of heaven is subject to enemies and to demonic infiltration, whereas heaven itself would oust such intruders that came to enter into heaven. I mean, they can't come back. They were cast out. They did well in heaven. But through the fall and through the sin of sexual seed reproduction process. Now again, sexual encounter with the woman brought the expulsion of the tare seed out of heaven to do battle with those in the kingdom of heaven. Now, you say, well, buddy, how can that be? Well, you certainly ain't in heaven right now, but you possibly could be in the kingdom of heaven. You could be added to it. Now, listen to this. They said, shall we go and gather them up, verse 29? But he said, no. Least while you gather up the tares, you uproot the wheat. Let them both grow together until the harvest. And at the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, we've got to find out who the reapers are. You heard about the grim reapers? First gather together the tares. And everybody is looking for a rapture of the righteous. They never talk about the rapture of the wicked. Now, don't you think that's strange? The Christians have been convinced that Yahweh is coming back, Jesus, as they say, to rapture out the good guys. When in reality, Yahweh's coming back to rapture out the bad guys, the reapers, the angels, at his command. And that's an absolute truth. It's biblical. Right here in the Bible of Matthew 13:24-30. All you need to disprove a righteous rapture is to show that these lying preachers who are trying to deceive the whole earth into making them believe that they're going out in a rapture, when it's actually the angels coming at the end of the world to take out the wicked. First the wicked. First the tares. Find them in bundles and burn them. There ain't no mercy there. You think he's going to show mercy when he comes back? You think that he's going to go along with the foolishness of these false prophets who have convinced most people in the Christian church that they're going to be raptured out of here? They're going to escape tribulation? Oh, for some reason they're afraid of tribulation. My God, I was born in tribulation. Many are the tribulations of the righteous, but God shall deliver them out of them all. Where's the promise? Where's the key for a rapture of the righteous? It's not there. It is the wicked that's going to be raptured out. They were raptured in the days of Noah, and the righteous remained. In the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, the wicked were raptured out, burned. The righteous remained. In the coming of the Son of Man, he's going to send first the reapers, not the rapture saints, but to take out the wicked and sever them from the wheat. Separation. Did you know that the tares, when they get sowed into the kingdom, and they will, beware, you've been among false brethren unaware, Satan can come in and bring a tare. He can send a tare right along. And these tares look like wheat. They shout like wheat. They prophesy like wheat, and even more so. So much that they would even deceive the best of the wheat, or the brightest of the wheat, or the most enlightened of the wheat. Take heed that you be not deceived by these tares who are dressed in wheat clothing. Well, they look like wheat, but in reality, they're intruders. The kingdom of heaven is meant to be occupied by true believers, all sincere, all obedient followers of Yahweh. But the devil's too smart to allow such a perfect community to exist. And I keep reminding our brothers and sisters, they're always looking for that perfect situation where we could all have peace and unity. My God, if we ever come to that, we're dead. If we get to that point, we have climactically reached the end. When Yahweh shall have delivered up. And the judgment will be set with the tares removed and the righteous gathered to explain or to give an account for the deeds done in the body. You see, Yahweh's not going to demand anything out of the wicked. Except burn them up. Except slay them. Why should he want to judge them? They're already judged. They're already convinced as sinners. What's a sinner got coming? Death. What's the angels going to do? They're going to come at the time of the harvest. At the time of the harvest. At the last trump. And the tares are going to be gathered. You don't know what a tare is. We've been among false brethren, Paul said, unaware. And he was pretty sharp. Hey, some of them fooled him. Some couldn't, but some did. We've been infiltrated with false apostles, false teachers, and false brethren. And where does these tares come from that show up in the kingdom of heaven? Now, not heaven, but the kingdom of heaven. There's a difference. There'll be no more tares enter heaven. Now, let me repeat that. There will be none of these wicked raptured go to heaven for a judgment. Judgment is going to be right here where the crime was committed. Satan is going to have to answer to Yahweh right here at the last trump with the reapers coming to shake down. The true wheat will be gathered into the granary and the tares will be bundled and burned. I'm going to repeat that. They ain't going to heaven. There ain't going to be no judgment of the wicked. They're being judged right now. There's not going to be no judgment of the righteous, future tense. It's being done right now. Your judgment begins now. And I taught on that here a while back. To make it as plain as I can, everybody's looking for a future time to be judged. Why would you want to be judged at a future time when you can't do nothing about it? Let's say you're dead and raised up. And you get convicted of a crime and you want to rectify and say, Lord, I'm sorry, I repent. It's too late. What can you repent of? Where can you go back and make it right? You can't. It's over. The fat lady's done sung. The granary is in the barn. The reapers are the angels. And I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn, but gather the wheat into the barn. You know what the barn is? That's into the, what we call, heaven. From the kingdom of heaven to heaven. The kingdom will be delivered up to the Father, and the Father is in my house many mansions, and I go to prepare it for you. And if I go, I'll come again. There he is, at the end of the world, at the time of the harvest. That's when he's coming. He's not going to come in and secretly rapture out 144,000. You know, there's some guy on my mailing list, and he mails me on the email, and sometimes I read him he's pathetically lost. He thinks that there's going to be what is called a rapture. And we're going to go up there first of all, that the Jews, this is how he's saying it. It's awful. I mean, it's so mixed up that he's going to go to Israel when he comes back, and he's going to hunt up 144,000 Jews and rapture them out. They're going to stay with him for 1,000 years. And at the end of the 1,000 years, he's going to bring those 144,000 back after the tribulation, and they're going to begin to preach. These Jews are going to preach all over the earth and convert as many as will be converted, and then we'll have what we call the final coming. All of that is nothing but pure, adulterated hogwash. I'm going to repeat that. I know that's very crude to condemn doctrine like that. You may believe it. But if you believe that kind of doctrine, Satan's already got you. And he's going to keep you until you release this theory that he's going to come back and pick up 144,000 Jews and take them back to heaven and reign with them for 1,000 years. And then, after the tribulation, he's going to send those 144,000 preachers, Jews, back to convert us poor Gentiles and the rest of the Jews into the kingdom. Men slept, it says. Did you know that men are still asleep? Churches are very sleepy. They're dull. They're unguarded. They're naive. And their doctrines are altered to fit the ears that are wanting to be tickled or something sweet or something good to hear. Don't worry about it. God's going to rapture us out. We won't have to go through the tribulation. And then here comes this other preacher. Yeah, you will. You'll have to go through it. But there'll be 144,000 Jews that'll never go through the tribulation. Now, wait a minute. What about the 144,000 that the Bible speaks of in the book of Revelation? It said these are the ones that come out of great tribulation. Uh-oh. Gotcha. You know, it is so revealing through just a plain parable here. The greatest sowing of tares happened in the third chapter of the book of Genesis. It went back that far. The tare was sowed in Genesis chapter 3 in the womb of the woman that you would call the mother of all living. Satan is an old time seed man. He goes way back. He got his seed early. And he is still sowing seed, and they're multiplying in the earth through a seed line that is not acceptable to Yahweh. And I've done a discourse of the seeds that are acceptable to Yahweh now, always have been and always will be. No exceptions. Yahweh don't change. He had a people that walked this earth. They are a sanctified people. Not because they're so righteous, but because they have a blood in them that is holy. The blood of God. The pure genetic blood of God versus the pure genetic blood of the devil. And the war is between the children of light and the children of the devil. We will never conquer darkness and sin and ignorance and slavery until we accept this fact that the devil come to kill, steal, and destroy through a super race of evil beings that walk here in flesh and blood, just as those who were born out of a bloodline that came from Yahweh. Now let's go back to Isaac. Now we could go back to Adam. We know that his blood was in Noah. We know Noah's blood was in Shem. And then we know that Shem's blood was in Abraham. And we know that Abraham's blood was in Isaac, because it's a Shemite connection versus a Canaanite connection. And Yahweh says to separate yourself from the Canaanites and those affected with that bloodline. And he named the nations. In Deuteronomy 7, there are seven nations that he said for you not to fool with. Well, we don't have those no more. They've disappeared. God killed them all, I guess. Or they died out. Oh, no. Oh, no. Never, never, never. You say, well, I'm glad I'm not a Canaanite. I'm glad I'm not a Gergesite or Jebusite. The things that I've been preaching on are seeds that are not permissible. They're in the kingdom of heaven now. Now, notice right here. I'm going to make this point. They're in the kingdom of heaven now, sowed among us. But they will not inherit the kingdom to come, which is heaven. Now, the kingdom of heaven is a collective group of good seed and bad seed mixed together, growing together, and the time of the end, the time of the harvest, the reapers, the angelic host, he will give them charge to gather and kill and burn and destroy this wicked seed. He's going to, as it says in the book of Ezekiel, he's going to cut the seed of the serpent. I mean, he's going to dehorn him. He's never going to sow any more tares. He's never going to have any more to hurt. He's never going to cause anyone any more pain, suffering, or sorrow, or affliction. Because he himself is going to be taken. He and his angels and those who have been deceived. And it's crying time. It's killing time. The killing fields of truth. Yahweh is going to kill you if you don't believe his word, and you shall not escape the wrath of the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. You're not going to make it. If so be that you have mixed and mingled your seed among the tares. When we wonder about these imposters, these tares, oh, they sing well. Bible said they come before you. They play well on an instrument. Ooh, they quiver their voice perfectly. They hit every note. There's so much talent. You see, these churches have become rock and roll, Christian rock and roll centers. Get down. Let the good times roll. I mean, Amazing Grace and all these tearjerker funeral type songs that we grew up in the 30s and 40s with a world of sorrow. You still have a few of those churches around, but most of these modern progressive get with it churches. I mean, they rock and roll, baby. They lock and load. They bring it on. I mean, the young people, they're enthusiastic. They raise their hands and they clap their hands and they praise the Lord. Praise the Lord! And the truth falls to the ground because you are not permitted to say, which Lord are you praising? Which God are you praising when you said, praise God? Which one? Satan is a God. The tares have slipped in among us, and it's close to the time of harvest. And eventually, Yahweh will gather the wheat into His barn and form the perfect, pure, and unadulterated family. Those that have kept themselves pure. Those who have spoke out against the miscegenation of the crossing of the bloodlines. Because Satan, like a snake that he is, has masterfully convinced all of mankind, the diverse kinds. I had a sister wrote me from down here in Tennessee, wonderful sister. And she reminded me, she said, Pastor Buddy, I believe what you're teaching, even nature itself will teach you the examples of the created species of birds. They never mix their seed or their blood, their genetics. They never cross it. They stay true to their kind. Only the persuasion of the tares who have come to persuade you that we're all one blood, we ought to all love one another. Of course, if you're a snake, you want to be carried around and petted. They want to be pet snakes. And here's these silly, blind, asleep children as wheat just laying over in their ease in Zion, will not study, will not pray, who will not repent, but would rather join the tares and mix and mingle together with them. Ladies and gentlemen, these divisions are unfortunate, necessary to remove the chaff from the wheat. That's those lukewarm so-calls who are teaching this damnable doctrine of a rapture of the righteous, when it's that rapture of the wicked that's going to take place, and then the righteous is going to inherit the earth. Heaven is coming down. I've proved that. I want to say that again. The four square city is not up in heaven. You're not going to drift away on a big cloud and float up towards heaven. Because heaven is coming down on this earth. A new earth of Isaiah 66. And we are going to possess the earth and rule forever. Eternity. Man, won't this be paradise? Paradise lost? No, paradise found, honey. Paradise found in the hearts of those who are wheat and not tares. Do not mingle with the tares. Come out from among the tares and be you separate and holy and clean and decent. Do not join the tares as they try to convince all of the wheat. Oh, we're wheat too. Don't you love us? We're not like you, but we're diverse. Can't you accept us as we are? And the nature of the wheat or the sheep is to stay in the herd and not join the goats. The nature of the wheat is not to mingle with the darnel or the tares. The nature of the wheat is it to expect a separation and to keep yourself separate and unspotted and always abiding in the truth and never compromising, real regardless of how silly you seem as a racist standing up for your Heavenly Father in the wheat field shouting glory. I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. Just like a tree or a wheat stalk planted by the water, I shall not be moved. In His love abiding, in His grace confiding. Let's take the G off and sing it again. In His race of purity, just like old Noah was, I shall not be moved. You say, Pastor Buddy, it's not a blood thing. Well, here the Messiah talks about the enemy sowing a seed in the personage of Cain. Cain was a real person. Then Yahweh said, don't mix with him. Don't listen to him. Don't let him come and worship here in your church, or you will be infected with a Canaanite disease. America is suffering from Canaanite infection. And you know what the antidote is? To come out. Keep yourself clean and pure. If you mix with them, you'll be judged with them. If you eat with them, you will be judged with them. If you drink with them, you will be judged with them. Separate yourself. Oh, but I like fellowship, and if I did that, I'd be at home all the time by myself. Better to dwell in a house of few of the wise than in the house of the many that's foolish, eating, drinking, and laughing, and making a mockery out of the seed lines by all mingling together. The rattlesnake said to the black snake. The black snake said to the yellow snake. The copperhead said to the redhead. The brunette and the blondes. The blue eyes said to the green eyes, to the brown eyes, to the almond eyes.
Let's all get together. Let's all create a subspecies that we can be proud of. Let's build a building that we can go to heaven all together and we can all celebrate when we get there.
The only problem is you ain't going nowhere. The problem is that the angels are coming here. You ain't going there. I want to repeat this. The problem you've got, you ain't going there. The angels are coming here at the time of the harvest. And Yahweh is going to gather them into bundles and they're going to be burned along with Satan and his adulterous believers and brothers and fellow citizens. We are the world that will never inherit, because the world will not inherit. It's the righteous that will inherit the world, not the world inheriting Yahweh's kingdom or Yahweh's heaven. Yahweh's heaven is not going to be in heaven. Yahweh's heaven is going to be on earth with His people, with the city four square, and all the righteous will be gathered together, and we'll be singing, glory, glory, hallelujah, glory. And Yahweh's going to be sitting on his throne, and we're going to sing that song, hallelujah, and a great chorus of voices will lift up their voices with praise and acclamations, magnifying the great and the magnificent one who sowed the righteous seed through the seed of Isaac and the sons of Isaac, the descendants of Isaac. The descendants of Jacob, who was chosen to be the heir to the kingdom of heaven, to possess heaven. No exceptions, no rules broken, no rules bent, nothing unclean will walk that highway. If you have blood that is not qualified. I'm talking about the royal bloodline of the righteous seed of Genesis chapter 3. Versus the royal God of this world bloodline of Satan and his children who torment the righteous or their convincing liars. They've moved in here with a few and rule the many. They have converted our money system into worthless paper that we lust for and fight for and die for, never having enough. And Yahweh and His truth have been cast to the ground, His prophets disrespected, not listened to, but the day will come, grant it. Bank on it. The day will come when you'll see the wicked tares separated in the day called the end of the world, the end of the age. There will be a new heaven and a new earth. Where's it going to be at? Where's heaven going to be, buddy? Is it going to be way out yonder where there's a cloud that I can float on? That's in the mind of these Christians. Due to the fact that these false prophets, these tares, have entered in unaware, preached this real acceptable, easy, ear-tickling doctrine of a rapture. When it's nothing more than the roundup of the tares that's going to be bundled and burned, and the wheat, which are the righteous sons and daughters of Yahweh, who are from descended sons of Jacob, descending sons of Isaac, the sons of Saxton, that trekked across the Caucasus, the Caucasians, who are righteous in the name of Yahweh and chosen.
Well, who are you to say that you've got an inside track?
Yahweh said, you of all people, the fewest, have I chosen. The blushing saints of Israel. That's not those over there in the Holy Land, in that sandbox, waiting on the 144,000 to be chosen out from among them, brought to you courtesy of the false prophets of the Christian churches, mainly of America, who have hatched up this dangerous, damnable doctrine and spread it like the venom of the snakes that they are. You're going to need an antidote of truth and a hard saying And I hope tonight that you received it. You're listening to Pastor Buddy. Part 4. Ladies and gentlemen, Part 4 coming up. 4 and 5. Of the miscegenation evils, the race-mixing evils, of the pollution of blood crossing bloodlines, where a jaybird won't cross to a redbird won't cross to a sparrow will not cross to a pigeon. Isn't it wonderful? Everything keeps its blood pure, kind after kind, except the tares that have convinced the wheat that we're all in this together, that we're all one happy family. We are the world of tomorrow. Remember that one? The world tomorrow. Well, the world today says, no way, Jose. Get out of here. You can't come in. The truth of today will demand an explanation of the parable of Matthew 13. Read it for yourself. Read it for yourself, ladies and gentlemen. It's a time of revelation. This gospel, it's not been preached. I mean, we barely can get on the radio and pay our bill. We struggle to do that, but we do it. Because we want the truth to continue. We want the shortwave radio station to continue. We want to push and pull and support it to keep it coming so that your ears in your home, wherever you are, wherever this radio reaches around the world on WWRB 3.185 Clear Channel. Brother Mark's my sponsor tonight, Al and Sister Audrey, down in the great state of Mississippi. Brought to you courtesy of their love for the gospel. We love you tonight, good enough to preach it for you, although we're criticized, although that we're hated, although that we're despised. There is an eternity laid up, a crown of righteousness laid up for you and for all them that love Him and all them that have kept themselves pure and know the truth. And the Bible says the truth is going to make you free. Now, you can write me tonight. That's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, in Tennessee. Now, again, that's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to call me tonight, I'll take your call. Area code 423-626-2172. That's area code 423-626-2172. If you'd like to have the 5-part series of the evils and the dangers of race mixing, please write Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, 37824. Or call me, area code 423-626-2172. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I got to get through the fence here and get off here. My time is come and gone. I'll see ya. On down the line, tomorrow night around the world, WWRB 3.185 Clear Channel on the Worldwide Transmitting Jewel of the South. That's WWRB at 10 o'clock. Join me then, and we'll have part 4 of the evils and dangers of race mixing. Is it a sin? We're going to examine the scriptures. We're going to read the Bible and see what the Bible says. You shall know the truth. The truth will make you free. Well, I love you, and Yahweh keep you close to His breast. And watch out for those who are serpents or snakes in the wheat stalk or wolves in sheep clothing. You be on the lookout for those type of people. You pray. Make sure your pastor at your local church is preaching you the truth. If not, tell him that Pastor Buddy would like to talk to him. You have him to call Pastor Buddy. We'll discuss the issues. Yahweh bless you. And I'll see you tomorrow night.